I'm concluding. Who are we listening to? This is part 7 of who we're listening to. And we've agreed the option and person, the best option and person to listen to is God. In Genesis 2, verse 7, God breathed into his, that's man's nostrils, the breath of life, and the man became a living being, an individual, complete in body and spirit. God created us with senses that are interlinked. God creates for us to work, the senses to work in unity, not in isolation. When we hear something, we turn to look at it. When we smell, we ask, where's that from? Almost expecting an answer so we can hear something or so we can see it. When we taste, we identify with the sense. What is it? Just as the whole body builds itself up working together, each doing its own bit, our senses work to create a greater picture or a greater understanding. Jesus is our mentor. He's our role model. He's our example. Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus introduces us to the Father as a loving Father, and he says to us, taste and see, experience his goodness. Jesus tells us through the word, we are to God the fragrance of Christ. God breathes in the aroma of our offerings. And in turn, we can breathe in from him, but also we can give out, we can diffuse the fragrance of Christ wherever we go. The fragrance of his knowledge in every place. I want us to move on to touch this morning. Does Almighty God want to reach down from heaven and touch us? Yes. How? God is everywhere, we're told, aren't we? And we know God is everywhere. However, we're told God is seated in the highest heaven, the third heaven, way above everything else. We're told Jesus is seated next to him, and Jesus is ruling and reigning. We're also told Jesus is in us, the hope of glory. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, after repentance and forgiveness, Christ dwells in us. That's a power encounter. The new has come. God changes the past, gets rid of the past. The new has come. But God doesn't want us to stop there, does he? He wants us to go on into a deeper, more intimate relationship. How does that happen? We see in John 16, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. I go. I'm sending the Helper. That's what Jesus said. I'm going. I'm off now. Bye. But he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better for you that I go, so the Spirit of truth can come. God, in the form of the Holy Spirit, is our guide on earth. To be intimate with God is to be intimate with the Holy Spirit, embracing all he brings, receiving how he moves. As I said, Jesus said, I'm off, but the Holy Spirit's going to be here, and he's going to take of what is mine and give it to you. God wants to touch us. Look what's been happening over the years. You can't touch anybody. You can't shake their hands. You certainly can't give them a hug. Keep your distance. That's what's been pushed at us for the last 2 years plus. But God says, I want to touch you. I want to touch you. He wants to touch us through the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. Or he wants to use angels to touch us. Yes, angels. Or he wants to use us to be channels for his Holy Spirit as we reach out and touch other people. We've got some examples of God touching people. And in Scripture, we see in Jeremiah 1, the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, hear me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to uproot and break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to plant and to build. Listen to me. I've touched you. I've touched your mouth, and I've appointed you to bring change. We see in Isaiah 6. Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of ceremonially unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongues. He touched my mouth with it and said, listen carefully. This has touched your lips. Your wickedness is taken away and your sin is atoned for and forgiven. Told to listen carefully. God touched and cleansed and said, go. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 10. Samuel said to all the people, do you see whom the Lord has chosen? For there is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, long live the king! Then Samuel told the people the requirements of the kingdom and wrote them in a book and placed it before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, each one to his home. Saul also went home to Gibeah, and the brave men whose hearts God had touched went with him. God touched their hearts through the words of what Samuel had said. They listened, their hearts were touched, and they responded by following the king. That was a new thing for them. When we look in Daniel 10. In verse 8. So I was left alone and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my normal appearance turned to a deathly pale, and I grew weak and faint with fright. Daniel is alone. All those about around him have run away. They've sensed the presence of God. Daniel saw. What did he see? He tells us in verse 5, I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose loins were girded with a belt of pure gold. His body was also like beryl. His face had the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like flaming torches. His arms and his feet like the gleaming of burnished bronze. And the sound of his words was like the noise of the multitude of people, or the roaring of the sea. What would you think you would have done if you'd seen that? You know, it's quite a thing to see, isn't it? And we're told what happened. Then I heard the sound of his words, like the roaring sea. And when I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in a deep sleep with my face towards the ground. The vision left him without strength. It frightened him, hardly surprising. After hearing the sound, he's on the floor. He falls flat out, face down on the floor. And it tells us he fell into a deep sleep. Now, the next verse, you start thinking, hang on, would I have liked this at all? Because it starts with, then, behold, a hand touched me. Bearing in mind, he's flat out on the floor in a deep sleep. That must be rather comforting and comfortable. He's frightened, but he goes into a sleep. So that things just pass by when you're asleep, doesn't it? And then he gets, a hand touched me and set me unsteadily on my hands and my knees. So he's flat on the floor. I was going to ask for someone to demonstrate, but I don't think I'm strong enough for here. If someone was laid flat out on the floor, someone comes along and grabs your belt and yaks you up onto your hands and knees. What a nice way to wake up, eh? From being fast asleep to on your hands and knees. You were frightened. I think you'd be even more frightened now. What's happened? What's gone on? But then, get up. And don't be afraid. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, strong enough to lift me up by my belt. Yeah, I'll get up and, you know, I'm not going to be afraid. And the angel tells him why he's seen the vision. You humbled yourself. You cried out for the nation, and you didn't just cry out once. You carried on crying out for the nation. That's why God has shown you the vision. See, he was getting close to God, and God responded and showed him. It tells you in verse 15, when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face towards the ground and was speechless. Daniel's in humility. He's not being proud. I've been chosen to see the vision. He humbles himself. He looks at the ground. And then, behold, one who resembled the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, because of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. He's touched, he opens his mouth, he can speak out. A touch is to come into contact. A touch is not just physical, but a touch is emotional and spiritual. Oh no, sometimes all you need is a hug. That's emotions coming into play. What's the common denominator of all these examples that I've spoken out? They spent time with God. And he touched them as a result. See, God hears and God responds. Paul, writing to Romans, tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul writing to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Speaking to us. Get our minds transformed. Don't to conform with what the world's saying and doing, but to do what the Lord's telling us. We are a new creation in Christ. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. God chose you. God chose me. God chose us. He picked us out. How does that make you feel? That God has picked you out. God touched you and moved you from where you were to where you are now. He touched us to receive him. He touches us to change us, to bring forgiveness. He brings us forgiveness for everyone who repents. When we're forgiven, we're cleansed, we're made whole. God tells us, he grants us power and authority. We are new creations. We've got new life. The old has gone. With the power of our minds being transformed, we have different priorities. We have different desires. We have different behavior. Our attitude is different. Our outlook is different. Eternal life, what we were talking about at the beginning there. We've got the light, we've got the song, not just a black hole to go into. All of this and more happens when God touches us. Yeah. So what else? Already quoted from John 15:16, you didn't choose me. But the Amplified goes on, I chose you and appointed you and placed and purposefully planted you. Go and bear fruit. Keep on bearing fruit that will remain. That's our job description. We've got to bear fruit and keep on bearing fruit, fruit that's going to remain. Notice God says, I've chosen you. I've picked you out. I've appointed you to this job. So that means you cannot fail. Because I have appointed you. I have placed you. That means you've been put in the right place. You are in the right place. God says, purposefully planted you. He knows exactly what we're going to do. He knows who we're going to come into contact, whether it's in Aldi, whether it's in Tesco, whether it's in the hall, whether it's in the coffee shop. You know, God placed us to bear fruit. He's our boss. He's the gaffer. He's given us this job. And this job is for all believers, not just a few. For so long, over the centuries, it's gone down in the church that the only person that does anything in the church is the minister at the front. And everybody else doesn't bother. They're not meant to be evangelizing. Oh, no, that's not my job. That's the vicar's. No, it's not. All have been called and chosen to evangelize. What's evangelize mean? It just means spread the word. Yeah. We've all got different styles in how we're going to do it. And what's the problem? Today, we've got apathy, lethargy. People not bothering. It ain't my job. It's somebody else's. We've got too many jobs worths. We've got here the census that was put out. 46.3 or something percent of the people would recognize and say they're Christians. Why? Why aren't we up in the 80s or the 90s? I mean, well, I'm going to say, no, that's limiting. I was going to say, we'll never get 100%. You know, but, yeah. We should be a lot higher than that. But how do we get from where we are now to where I believe God wants us to be? By saying, can I pray for you? Or in the supermarket, oh no, can we pray with you? Can we do this? Can we talk to you? It's as we share As we speak out, we accept Jesus into our lives and we're enlisted into the army. Whether you like it or not, you're in God's army with a job to do. We are appointed as Christians. We are appointed to the Christian ministry. That's spreading the good news of the gospel. And what's another way of saying we are appointed to the Christian ministry? It means ordained. So you are ordained into the Christian ministry. Now, I think we might get some opposition from that statement from different people in denominations, but the actual meaning of ordained is appointed to Christian ministry. And if we go further to reinforce that, in 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So don't let anybody tell you, say, you're not a priest. God says you are. If you're a believer in Christ, you are a priest, and you are ordained to spread the gospel. You're in the army, but you're also an ordained priest. Our job, to witness for Christ, to bear fruit and to live out our Christian faith. This may be with a smile, a prayer, a helping hand. Our lifestyle influences people. On Friday night, I went up to the coffee shop to pick Helen up because she'd walked up earlier on the day. And there was a couple in there. They were from Lincoln. And got talking with them, and he got talking about Grapevine. He used to go to Grapevine. Oh, it must have been 10 years ago when I was last there. Not a believer. He's one of the stallholders. And he used to do fruit kebabs, the healthy option. And he said the queues used to be massively long to get his healthy fruit kebab. And you know what he said? Oh, the people there are amazing. They're so friendly. That's a non-believer's perspective of Christians when they gather together. So yes, when we have a smile, when we have a word, when we come together, that makes an impact on people. That guy's 10 years ago, since he was last there, is remembering that the Christians there were really friendly. We would that he would actually get a bit further on through from just being friendly, thinking they're friendly, but think, I wouldn't mind joining that lot. They've got something that I want. We looked at John 15:16, telling us that God has chosen us, but the next verse says, these things I command you, that you love one another. We get Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And Paul tells us in Ephesians to bear with one another in love. And also we'll go into Ephesians 4. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind and doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We're coming together in unity. How? By the instruction we receive from the giftings that the Holy Spirit has brought and given. He wants us to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. God's saying, He's touching us. He's touching us. He wants us to bring us into harmony and unity. God's saying He wants us all to be singing from the same song sheet to bring it up to date. So the touch of God brings that unity. The touch of God also makes us conquerors. Romans 8, yet in all these things, that's trials, persecutions, problems, we are more than conquerors. We've heard that this morning as well. So much of the things that we said, what David said brought there, so much of the things have already been mentioned this morning. The touch of God makes us more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loves us. Philippians, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. We are to trust God. And as Alec Buchanan used to say, thou shalt bash on. Let's just trust God and get on with it. Jesus reached out. Jesus touched people all the time. He put out His hand to the leper. He didn't do that. He spat and put clay on the blind man's eyes. He touched the dead. He don't do that. To the woman, said she was forgiven. She was healed. Jesus was willing to heal then, and He is still willing to heal now. He can touch us, or just the word can be said. That's what the centurion said. I'm a sinful man. Don't come into my house, Rabbi. Just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. And that's what happened. And Jesus' response, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel than in this Gentile. This is what He's asking for. Faith to believe. Some may doubt. They'll not believe that God can still heal today, and they'll stay sick. God wants to touch us. T, He wants to transform us. O, He wants to ordain us. U, He wants to unite us. C, He wants to strengthen us and make us conquerors. And H, He wants to heal us. So let us be like Jesus, to only ask, to only say what the Father says, to only do what the Father does, to taste and see that our God is good, to receive breath of God, to be the fragrance of Christ wherever we go, and touch to spread the gospel as we demonstrate the Christian lifestyle. As we lay hands on people, to see them being healed. Jesus, in Jesus' name, using His power, using His authority, using His anointing, using His enablings, as the Holy Spirit flows through us to equip us. So our prayer is, come Holy Spirit, sensitize our senses, flow through us as we touch others.